Chapter 24, right at the end of the book of Joshua, is where I'll be this morning. If you can make it for 6 p.m. service tonight, last week we talked about Daniel's 70th week in prophecy. And this week I'm going to talk about the religion of the end times. And so if you can come back tonight at 6 p.m., we'll talk about the end time religion and what the Bible says about that. Lord willing, Joshua 24. Have a bit of a lengthy passage. We're going to read 10 verses, verse 14 through 24. Joshua 24, starting at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in which the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of bondage, and from which did those great signs in our sights, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Wherefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he had done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord and to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord, your Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. We already prayed. Let's go ahead and jump right in. And good. Joshua just reviewed at the start of this chapter, through the word of the Lord, all that God had done for Israel coming out of Egypt and the miracles. And he reviewed the part of the Red Sea and how God had been good and raised his nation up and helped them miraculously, and how that he brought them into the promised land. They defeated the Jericho and the giants and the Amorites and the Perizzites and all the people. And he said, God has provided for you food from heaven and water from rocks and everything else, and you've been blessed. And he reminded them of all that. And then he says, now I'm going to die, and you've got to make some choices here. And you've got to choose who you're going to serve. You've got to say, I'm going to put away all these gods, and I'm going to the Lord. And I want to say, it's not even a point in my message, but it's mentioned just in the passage we read twice. He said, you got to put the false gods away from you. If you want to serve them, don't say you're going to serve the Lord. You got to put them away, then serve the Lord. Then he says it later again. They said, yes, we'll serve the Lord. He says, okay, then you better put away those gods. And I want you to understand, to serve God, it is not a matter of you just adding God to your life. It's putting things away. Okay? It makes just as much for you to go and say, okay, you know what? I've got my life, my things. I'm going to add God to part of my life. And all the things that God doesn't want in your life are there. It makes as much sense as you being stinky and sweaty and smelling terrible and saying, you know what? I'm going to put on a new shirt over the top of my old one. It doesn't do all that much good. Somebody's saying, really? That's not good? The bachelors and the teenage boys and all those people who don't care. And so you go and you find out, you know what? You've got to put some things away. Repent and come to Christ. Repent of some things. Get rid of some things. Get rid of the sin in your life, and then come to the Lord. And so he wanted them to establish the future for the people. He wanted them to make a choice and not sit there in neutral. Number one, it all started with a decision. It started with a decision. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, choose. And he says, I'm telling you my choice. Me and my house, we're going to serve God, but make a choice. And choices are everything. Choices are the key. Choices separate everything. He says, I want you to choose who you're going to serve. If you want to serve the gods, the Amorites and the Hittites and those false gods and your idols, then go ahead and do it. Isn't that strange? He doesn't just say, I want you all to choose the Lord. He said, listen, choose this day. Here's the line. Go this way or go this way. And I want to say, that's what good biblical preaching does. That's what they did in the Bible. They said, make a choice. You got to pick. I would rather have a church with 100 people on fire for God than a church of 1,000 of wishy-washy people who won't make a choice. Okay? You've got to make a choice to serve God. You do not serve God by accident, nor do you do anything important in life by accident. You do it by making choices. Many people underachieve in life because they never make choices. To not decide is to make a choice for mediocrity or wrong. To not make a choice is to make a choice. It just means you're choosing mediocrity or wrong. You're in the middle of a battlefield between two countries, and you say, I'm just going to stand here in the middle and not choose either. It doesn't work out that way. You're in the middle of a war. And he says, choose the Lord. And by the way, if someone doesn't want to serve the Lord, I'm not going to twist their arm. That's an opportunity to serve the Lord. If you don't want to serve the Lord, go ahead. Don't serve the Lord. I already tried that the first half of my life. I saw what it turned out like. If you want to come back, come on. We're here for you. But you have free will. People have free will. God says, choose you this day. This day. You know that procrastination is one of the devil's greatest tools. That someday you're going to start changing. Someday you're going to get back to God. Someday you're going to start praying. Someday you're going to start tithing. Someday you're going to start reading your Bible. Someday you're going to start witnessing. People feel good when they're procrastinating spiritually. The devil makes them feel real peaceful that, you know what, because you're planning on it someday, you're fine. You're not fine. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. How would that work with your boss? You know, someday, boss, I'm going to start showing up to work on time. I plan on it. He'd say, oh, well, as long as you're planning on it sometime, that's fine. You're fine just showing up late every day. That's fine. As long as you're planning on it, everything's right. Would that work okay? No. Choose you this day. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You shouldn't presume upon God that you're going to have another day to make a choice. Whatever you want to get right, whatever you want to do, do it today and serve the Lord. Choose you this day. You do not do right or anything good by accident. You make a plan. You make a choice. Listen, nobody just gets to the top of Mount Rainier and says, I just ended up here. I didn't plan on it. They just end up at the top of Mount Rainier. No, you got to plan. You got to choose. I'm going to learn to climb a mountain. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to buy the equipment. I'm going to hire a guide. I'm going to drive up to paradise. I'm going to do this. It's a bunch of choice. You plan on it. You make a choice to do that. You don't accidentally do great things. You choose to do what you want to do. Nobody just says, you know what? I'm a doctor now. I didn't plan to become a doctor. I just got my PhD and did my internship, and here I am. No. You say, I'm going to do this. I'm choosing to get this career. Nobody ends up digging out of debt by accident. They get into debt by not planning. Thank you. Got one person in church who's not in debt. Listen, you get in debt because you don't think about it, and you just, whatever happens, happens. And by the way, when you want to dig out, you better make a plan to dig out. You'll find out it was a lot easier to fall in this hole than to dig out of it. It takes a long time. You make a choice. See, you choose in life what you want to do. You have a bad marriage by accident. You choose to have a good marriage. Choices. Choices. The devil wants you to just think about it again. He wants you to just plan on it someday. He wants you to say, well, it's just the way it is. Nobody ever just says, you know, the Bible just fell on my lap and I looked at the page and started reading my Bible today. You choose to read your Bible. You know why I read the Bible every day? You know, I because I plan to. If you went to work like you read your Bible, you know, if I get a chance, if I feel the urge, you wouldn't go to work very often. You prioritize. You say, I'm doing this. This is the process. And when you make a process and you decide, you say, I'm choosing to do this with my time. I'm choosing to do this in my life. You are what you are. If you want any changes, you must choose to change things. Okay? I at some point says, you know what? I need to lose some weight. And I chose to lose some weight. Okay? Once I made the choice, the hardest thing was making the choice. And it was simple for me. It wasn't that complicated for me. I said, I'm combining breakfast and lunch and having one meal, having brunch. That's all I did. And I lost weight. But I didn't do it by accident. Bacon still calls. Twice a day? Twice a day, that's right. Be bacon for breakfast and then bacon burgers for dinner. That's hallelujah. And you make choices. If you don't make a choice, you're gonna have the same health situation, financial situation, family situation, until you choose different. So if you're happy with everything, don't make any choices. But if you want something to be different, then you got to choose. And I know this is really simple, but it's so vital. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If you want the Lord, serve him. If you want these false gods, serve them. But choose this day. Now, I'm choosing me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. That's what he says. Also, choose a family. What kind of family you want to be? You choose to serve God. You choose maybe to have devotions. You choose not to bring evil into your home. You choose what kind of... You're not going to do it by accident in this world. If you want to have a Christian home, it's by choices. What are you going to do about it? Quit thinking about things. Quit thinking about things and choose. Choose. What's your choice today? What's your sin in your life you're tired of having? I wish I could just get victory of that. What have you done to do it? Well, I really want to. Fine. Won't make any difference to want to. You got to make a choice. What are you going to do? Well, I don't even know how to do it. Then you get counsel. Counsel is a choice. Okay, you say, I can't stop chewing tobacco. Well, then you say, I've got to stop doing it. I'm choosing to stop. Now, how am I going to do it? Okay, you can get counsel. You can find different ways. I can show you. There's all kinds of ways. But you got to choose. I'm going to quit cussing. You choose to. It doesn't happen by accident. You're still going to hit your thumb with a hammer. And you still do the same thing unless you choose what you're going to do. And then you choose, I'm going to say something good. Whack, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. And you do something different. But you choose. You make a choice. It's interesting. In the Bible, they made covenants. Look at verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Okay? He said, will you serve the Lord? They said, yes. It's okay. We're making a covenant, like a marriage, a deal. We're signing the papers is how we would say it. We are making a contract, okay? The Bible is full of covenants. Now, this one, for whatever reason, the covenant was, they took a big giant rock and rolled it underneath an oak tree. And they wrote down the covenant in a book, okay? And they said, we'll do that. And Joshua said, okay, we're gonna make this ordinance in Shechem. And verse 26, Joshua wrote all the words of the book in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, and it shall be heard, and for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So they set some apart and said, here's this rock. It's over by the sanctuary of God. We're going to roll it there. And when you see that rock, or if you ever go astray, we can say, hey, look, there's that rock. That's where you promised. It was a reminder. It's a way of setting aside and saying, I'm doing this. And covenants were so powerful because it was a visual contract. You can remember, we chose to do. It's a ring. I'm married. Okay? I'm making a covenant with God. Decisions, when you make covenants, decisions are so much deeper when you understand, I'm really going to do this. And you could put a reminder. You could tell somebody, there's a million ways you can make a covenant. There's a million ways you can say, but you need to say, I'm doing this. And you go tell your spouse, honey, I'm reading my Bible every day. Checking up. In other words, you're making it something you're going to remember. You might put some reminder around your house. You might take a sticky pad and put it in your mirror and say, I promised God I was going to spend 10 minutes in prayer every day. Whatever you're going to do, I'm going to go to church every single Sunday. I am making that covenant. You can say, Pastor, call me on Sunday morning. Make sure I'm coming, because I'm telling you, I'm coming every week. In other words, you're doing something that's going to say, I'm going to do this. You're taking a step. It is a covenant with God. I'm making this decision. I'm going to do this. It's not bad to have made such a strong decision that people are going to laugh at you if you don't do it. It's steps. That's why I've told you many times before, when I'm with somebody, they say, I'm going to quit drinking, I'm quit doing drugs or whatever. I say, where are they? We're going to flush them. Well, no. I don't want to do that right now. Not yet. You're not making a covenant here. And I always just tell them, okay. I say, listen, I've done this long enough. If you won't flush them, you aren't stopping. Well, I'll just not do it. It's a waste of money. You weren't so concerned about money when you bought it. By the way, if it's trash, get rid of it and burn it. I don't care how much it costs. Pour it down the drain, get rid of it. If you're going to cry too much doing it, call me over, I'll do it. I take joy in it. I love flushing things. Give me that bag or give me that bottle. Why? Because you're deciding. You're deciding. You cancel a contract or something. You do something. Make a decision. We've got to learn to decide things. How are we doing? Can we learn to decide things instead of intending? Okay, let's decide things. Choose you this day who you will serve. That's what he says. Here's what I'm doing, he said. And he does that. Number two. Expect the Lord to bless or curse according to what you do. Key word is expect. Verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. Okay? It's always so strange when you read the next book of the Bible, Judges. They would forsake the covenant and do bad and be shocked when bad things happen and God let bad things happen to them. Okay. Don't be shocked if God does exactly what he says he's going to do. He's real good at doing that. If you live for God, you get the abundant life. If you live for the world, God is far from you. His blessing is not on you. Now, you might get some good things in life or whatever, but don't expect the peace of God that passes understanding. Don't expect the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Expect that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he disciplines. Don't be mad at him. Don't be shocked when your life falls apart when you get out of church. Expect it. When you go do wicked things, expect bad things to happen. Don't be shocked. Okay? It's very simple. Why do people get mad when God keeps his word? It always surprises me. I don't know why God did this to me. I do. Why don't you know? Well, I know I've been serving God, but I don't understand. Why not? Watch, that's a burner. I bet you put your hand on it, it'll burn you. Why are you surprised when God never lies? Titus 1:2, God which cannot lie. He's going to do what he says. And he just tells them, hey guys, I'm going to bless you if you do right. If you do wrong, I'm going to be against you. So don't be surprised when that happens, okay? And don't you be surprised. When the devil talks you into getting out of church, you don't go to church for a while, and all of a sudden your life starts falling apart, don't say, why did God do this to me? Say, yep, God's sure right. He does what he says, doesn't it? Doesn't he? Just don't be surprised. It's systematic. God never lies. He doesn't bless sin, okay? And he does bless godliness. So don't be surprised. Expect to be blessed or cursed according to what you do. And this is as old as mankind. Why are people surprised? Adam and Eve were surprised when they got kicked out of the garden. Cain slew Abel, was surprised when God was upset. Abraham was blessed. Okay? And he was kind of surprised at that. I mean, God just does what he says he's going to do. Things work about like you figure. And don't be surprised. Next, and this is the biggest thing I want to say, is incline your heart toward the Lord. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Incline your heart. The word incline is an interesting word. It means to stretch or bend toward. To stretch toward or bend toward. Let me take you to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Incline your heart. I like this phrase. I've never noticed it before in the Bible. I really like it. Incline your heart. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses the servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Turn not from the right hand to the left. This is so important, and it's so simple. It means you're saying, let's pretend this aisle over here is inclined towards God, okay? And this is the direction I'm going toward. All the heathens are over here, and so I'm inclining my heart. This is where I'm going this way. This is where I'm going now, okay? He says, turn your heart, bend it, and incline your heart toward the Lord, toward him. Not even toward a way of life, towards a person, toward the Lord. I want you to have your heart incline that direction. And so not, as he told Joshua in 1:7, don't go to the right hand or left. Just incline your heart. That's where you're going. That's the direction. That's where things are going to be going. That's what's going to happen. That's where you're going. This is my life and what I do and where I'm going. Okay, let me illustrate this with something maybe we'll understand a little better. All right. Who is a huge pro football fan? Raise your hand. If you're a huge fan, okay. Keep your hand up for a second. Okay, nothing wrong with that. I am. You think I'm trying to get you, don't you? You're all like this. Okay. I know we have more than that. I was in church on the Super Bowl Sunday night. Okay. I know we have more than that. Okay. Okay. Favorite team Seahawks. Favorite team Seahawks. Favorite team Seahawks. All right. We got no traitors here. Okay. During your guys' lifetime, were the Seahawks ever bad? Okay. Most of the time. You know how many more fans there are now? Okay. Were you not a Seahawks fan anymore when they were bad? Were you still a Seahawks fan? Still a Seahawks fan? Okay. There are fans of teams whose teams are always bad. And they still fill up stadiums. Raiders, for example. Oh, well, it's good Al's not here. Red Sox fans, Cubs fans in baseball. But their heart is inclined toward their team, so even if their team's bad, they're still a fan. Now, they might grumble, but they're still a fan. They don't leave because they were born and bred that. It's what they always were. It's what they're going to be. Now, there's other teams you might pick up and like for a while, but they're not your team. You might like some certain player and he joins a certain team, so you're a fan of that team for a while, but you're not going to stay with that team. I mean, you know, it comes and goes. But when you incline your heart and you just stick with it, that is my team. You inclined your heart. A mother inclines their heart towards her child. No matter how doofy and foolish your child gets, they still love their baby because their heart's inclined. It's not something that's doing this, okay? That's what you have to do to be a good Christian with God. You say, I'm serving God. My heart is toward God. I love the Lord. He saved me. This is my path. I'm going to stay on it. My heart is bent towards God. I'm not going to the right hand or left. I'm going to serve God the rest of my days. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not giving this a shot. I am serving God forever. In the marriage covenant, we say these phrases. It's an old phrase that isn't done much anymore. It was called for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Okay? That is, I am with this person as long as they're alive. I am, my heart is toward them. I understand they might have some situation where they'd be away for a while, but my heart is still with them. It is, I am inclined toward them. I know, and by the way, so if you're going to say those vows, don't you dare, because they're not nice, get divorced. Or because they gain weight. Or because they don't cook for you. Unless it's bacon. I just got this bacon in my mind. I don't know what's wrong. Do they cook bacon over there? Is there bacon over there? No, I don't know what it is. And your heart is inclined. You're going to do this. This marriage, you know what? I'm not happy in this marriage, but I'm married. I'm staying with it. I'm going to be inclined toward them. You know what? They're very sick now, and they've got a lot of health issues, but my heart's still inclined toward. You say, I am doing this. Incline your heart, not your mind, not your intellect, but your heart, your very love toward the Lord. This is my life, for better, for worse. In the Christian life, there will be highs and lows. There will be times when you doubt God. There will be times when God, it doesn't seem like he's answering your prayers. There will be times when God seems like he's not being fair to you. But your decision is made. And you're on the route. And you're not going to get off it. Luke 9:62. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. Is not fit, he says, for the kingdom of God. Once you decide to serve the Lord, you're going to serve the Lord till you die. For better, for worse. If you end up being a martyr, if your health is not good, if things don't go well, you're serving the Lord. Your heart is inclined to him. It's a decision for me and my house. We will do this thing. Let's turn to the book of Job. The book of Job. Job's heart was inclined. His decision was made. And by the way, boy, you talk about somebody being tested in their decision for God. Job was the man. But look how inclined God was toward Job was toward the Lord. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. As I'm going to stay on the right path, I'm going to trust God. Nothing, though my family had died, though my health is gone, though I'm being mocked, I am going to trust God, even if he kills me. Why? He gave his whole heart to God. Can I say this? God is inclined towards you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You might make God mad. You might disappoint God. You might backslide. You might do things wrong. But he's the father who lets a prodigal come back. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, the Bible says. God's heart is inclined towards you, and he says, I will never leave you. Boy, if God's heart was not inclined toward us, how many times would he have just said, I'm done with you? I know he would have with me a lot of times. But his heart is inclined. His decision is made. He decided to love you, and he'll never stop loving you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There might be days where he doesn't like you, but he loves you because he made a decision to save you and love you, and you said yes, and he said, okay, you are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you wander, I'm the Father who stands waiting for the prodigal to return, and when you come back, I'll take you with open arms. Now, he won't bless you. When you're away from him, he's not going to do good things for you. But you know what? He'll always love you. Because he inclined. Why don't we incline ourselves toward him? Look at Job 23. God, it's just a decision to be inclined towards something, to give this is where my life is going to be, when I understand, when I don't understand. Can I tell you, I had a period of time in my life when I was first married. I guess I was 22 years old, and I was serving the Lord, and boy, God was not blessing, and I was doing the right thing. And there were times when I had some real doubts for a while, but you know what? At that time, when it didn't seem like God, I had all kinds of doubts, didn't seem like God was doing what he should do, it seemed like I didn't understand what God was doing, he wasn't hearing my prayers, and I was serving the Lord, I was going to Bible college, I was doing what God wanted me to do, I was in financial trouble, I was, and everything was wrong. I had times where I didn't think God was fair, but I decided to keep serving the Lord in those times. Boy, the veil was lifted, the darkness went away, everything became clear and understood. But during those times, if I wouldn't have made a deep decision to follow God, if I'd have just been checking it out and seeing what it's like and maybe giving it a shot, I wouldn't have kept on serving God. Nor would Job, nor would many of you who've decided you're going to serve God through thick and thin. Look at Job here and the battles he's having and yet his choice he makes. Job 23, verse 8, "Behold, I go back forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." He said, God is hiding himself. I look everywhere for God. I cannot see God anywhere in this. "But he knoweth the path that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commitment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job said, I don't get it. I can't find God, but my path has not strayed at all. I just know God's good. In the end of this, he's going to come forth as gold. He's trying me. He's hiding his face from me. But he's a good God. I know that about him. He hasn't changed. I am not straying. Never undo in darkness what you do in the light. When God reveals himself to you and shows himself to you, and then he hides himself for a while, and you cannot see God, and things don't seem right and fair, you never undo in darkness. If I'm in the middle of a room, and I'm walking toward the door, and I'm walking this direction, and all of a sudden the lights all go out, and I don't know where the door is, I'm not going to start going like this and walking around. I'm going to keep walking the path that I saw was right when the lights were on. And when God turns off the light and when God isn't blessing, and I will go through times again, and I've been through times of dark times and hard times and God hiding his face from me times that it talks about in Psalms all over. And you know what? I've learned just stay on the path that I incline myself to. I'm going to keep on going. Pretty soon it all goes away. I see everything clearly. I said, what was I thinking? God's good. You know why? Because God didn't change in my problems. Job said, I don't see him anywhere. And Job was way worse off than I've ever been. And he said, I don't see him. I don't understand it, but I'm going to keep doing right. One of the most important things I ever heard in my life that really helped my Christian life forever was when a pastor said, quit putting God on trial all the time. Quit putting God on trial all the time. I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is so difficult if you ever experience someone who puts you on trial all the time. This person you've been good to, and all of a sudden you got to prove you're good to them again. And they want you to do something, and all of a sudden if you don't do it for them, you're not a good person anymore. And you're a good person, bad person, good person, and you haven't changed at all. And all of a sudden you're getting... And they put you on trial for every event. When you're married to someone who they know who you are, but all of a sudden you're always on trial. You're never just accepted. Listen, don't put God on trial for every event you go through. If he was good last week, he's good this week. If he's good when he took care of you and gave you a child and blessed you in some way and saved your soul, he's still good now when your health isn't so good. He's still good now. If he was good when he got a good job, he's good now when your job's struggling. He didn't change. Don't put God on trial all the time. Don't let every event and every time and every situation go through your life and you saying, oh, God, what's God doing? God's not fair to me. God's better than fair to you. His son died for you when you're a filthy sinner. Don't put God on trial. Have a trial, decide if God's good, and then stick with your verdict for the rest of your life. I've been healthy and active and great in health my whole life. I can always run and do and climb and do whatever with anybody all the time. I loved it. I go out and play football at 43 years old, 44 years old. I've always been very healthy. I enjoyed my health. It's great. I'm not healthy right now. The problem is when you suddenly get arthritis, you don't grow into it like an 80-year-old person. A person who gets arthritis feels it coming on and gets it through the years and learns to change their habits. I, as a guy who runs and takes off and wrestles and does everything, I suddenly, boom, got full body arthritis. And I still all of a sudden start running downstairs. And all of a sudden grab my kid and start twirling it and go, ugh! And I'm having a very hard time adjusting. If I could ever adjust, I'd get fixed. It's temporary, except for I can't stop doing what I do. And you know what? God is just as good right now as he was 3 months ago when I felt great. He's not on trial with me. I already found out how good he was. My health is a bonus. I deserve nothing but hell. I live every day blessed. And I'm not miserable in the slightest. I'll figure it out. We'll learn with it. If it lasts the rest of my life, it lasts the rest of my life. God will still be good. He won't have changed. The God of the universe, who was there for trillions of eons before the world ever was and never changed and cannot change. The Bible says there's no variableness in James 1. Neither shadow turning, did not suddenly change because I got chicken gunya. What a self-centered, we're the everything in the universe that you think as things are going bad for you, God now changed. Who do we think we are? Listen, God is good all the time. He's not on trial with me anymore. My heart is inclined. And I can backslide and I can do the wrong thing and make the wrong choices. But when I say this, the reason I've never backslid is one of the reasons. One, I'm careful. But two, as sinful and weak as I am, I'm not making up my mind all the time about God. I already made up my mind. If I go do a bunch of wicked things, I expect bad things to happen. God will not have changed. If all of a sudden things bad happen to my family and trouble happens to my family and there's heartbreaking things in my family, God is still good. I'm not going to quit serving him. When his son died for me, when he didn't have to on the cross, he already proved how good he was. If he wasn't good, he wouldn't have given his son for the sinful mankind. Make a decision. Do not constantly put God on trial. He's never going to change. If he's good, he's good. And decide you're going to go to church and decide you're going to read your Bible and decide you're going to pray, decide you're going to serve the Lord. Not constantly, well, you know, I'll give this a shot. That's not the Christian life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I decided to serve the Lord. Not going back on it. It's a choice. I'm done. The choice is made. I don't choose whether I'm going to stay married. I made that choice 22 and a half years ago. I'm married. Okay? I don't choose whether I'm going to church on Sunday, by the way. People who choose on Sunday if they're going to church are very unfaithful. I chose to go to church a long time ago. I always go. Don't decide on Sunday if you're going to church. You'll be sleepy one morning. You'll forget your Captain Crunch box is empty. You have to go to the store. You'll find reasons. The devil will find all kinds of reasons. You choose to go to church. I go to church because God tells me to. I'm going to church. And your relatives call and say, hey, I'm coming in today. It's Sunday. I say, okay, I get back about 1:30. I'll see you then. Hey, come in early. You can go to church with me. But I go to church. My relatives don't try anymore on Sunday. because I have a choice. You do not make all these little choices. You make big choices. It's a lot easier that way. And all the choices are made. I'm going to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to serve. All the choices get made in big decisions, inclining your heart to do something. That's why people who are still serving the Lord are still serving the Lord, because they don't choose all the time. They're not revisiting these things all the time. God is my God. Amen. I made a covenant with him. I made a big choice. Not, oh, I'll try. Big choices. So he said, first of all, it started with a decision. Secondly, expect the Lord to bless or curse according to what you do. And third, incline your heart, make big decisions, and stick with them. Make that the direction of your life, not a little whim. Your relatives will tell you, you know what? This is another fad you're having. No, you show them, no, this is my life now. This is my life now. That's inclining your heart. I'm going to do this thing. You'll have a bad day at church, but it's your church. You're going to go to it. The pastor moves all chairs around some Sunday. I'll say, like, what did he do? I lost my spot. If that ever happens, you keep serving the Lord and going to church. You just decide, my pastor's awesome. He doesn't change, except for one Sunday, all of a sudden the chairs are all gone. But you know what? Just say, I'm serving the Lord. I'm going to do right. I'm making big choices. I'm making a covenant. I am deciding to do this. And God is good, and he's my Lord, and I'll serve him the rest of my life, no matter what comes. Don't keep deciding. And bad times are going to come, and there's going to be dark times when you don't see God, and doubt times when you don't understand God, and doubt times when it seems like God's not real, and you say, my heart's already inclined. You'll come out of those dark times and say, boy, I almost blew it. Good night. How did I not see clearly? Those times are human. We're humans, and we go up and down all the time. God stays the same. Just decide big decisions, and you'll find out you'll be blessed, and you have a life that's steady and solid and great. And you get to heaven, God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not thou flaky servant. Because you decided big decisions. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you that we get this example. Joshua just told him, hey, you guys, I'm doing this. Do what you want. I'm doing this. You ought to choose this day. And when they said yes, Father, he rolled the stone and they made the big covenant, so to remind them. Lord, we see that he's just instructing them. When he's gone, they've got to have these things decided. I pray today that we would have some people make big decisions. And Lord, there's maybe some way that they can make a covenant to remember. But Lord, I guess I've never really done that in that way. I just made big decisions and remembered them. But Lord, I pray today that we would make those big decisions. I pray we'd incline our hearts to a lifestyle, to a direction, to serving the Lord. I pray today, if somebody isn't saved, isn't born again, that they would understand that you love them and you incline toward them when you sent your son. And I pray today that everybody here would leave having made a big decision to either be saved or to follow you no matter what happens. We pray, Lord, that great things would happen and we would love you and trust you and decide that you never change. Help us in these decisions. Help us understand these truths. Help us to live what Joshua 24 tells us, Lord. Even though Joshua is leaving, Father, they would know what to do. Help us to do these things. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed.